Thousands of people crowded the Edmund Pettus Bridge in Selma yesterday to remember what became known as Bloody Sunday. Voting marches in 1965 were attacked by state troopers and a sheriff's posse armed with clubs and tear gas. The weekend observance was attended by President Obama and the children of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. APR News Director Pat Duggins and reporter Stan Ingold teamed up to bring us this audio postcard.
Good morning. This is Bernice A. King, daughter of Martin Luther King and Coretta Scott King, and I'm going to leave you with my mother's words, which is, struggle is a never-ending process. Freedom is never really won. You earn it and win it in every generation. And I say to you, we have been called into this freedom struggle, and we have a responsibility to do what is necessary to make sure that everyone has the right to vote, that it is protected, and also that everyone is able to prosper in the American economy. And so we have tremendous work to do in this generation in terms of ensuring democracy and equality for all people.
Let us make a clear path for the march.
This is Reverend Jesse Jackson.
The victory at Selma was the protected right to vote, which had been denied since 1870. But today, with Section 4 has gutted the Voting Rights Act's oversight. And because of that, they're now stacking and packing districts and marginalizing the black vote. Even though they're elected, they're being marginalized. There's nothing much to celebrate. I mean, really, we're on the attack. We should be protesting, not just celebrating. The Voting Rights Act has been gutted.
Folks dying out here. Y'all talking about a bridge. Y'all need to be raising hell about these folks' lives like y'all raising hell about this bridge. That show you where your priorities at. That show you where your priorities at right there. You more concerned about this bridge and these folks walking on the bridge than you are about real lives. People are dying.
Hello, this is Governor Robert Bentley. I was at the University of Alabama when George Wallace stood in the schoolhouse door to keep black students from entering. So I've been a part of this for a long time, and so I have seen it progress. And it's somewhat ironic that 50 years later, that young student at that time is now the governor of Alabama, because we are a different state, and I'm proud to say that we're a different state than we were then.
T-shirt for sale. All proceeds go to the
Future Youth Center.
Woe unto those who pass unjust law and rob the poor of their rights and make women.
If someone had told me when we were crossing this bridge that one day I will be back here introducing the first African-American president, I would have said, you're crazy, you're out of your mind, you don't know what you're talking about. President Barack Obama!
So much of our turbulent history, the stain of slavery and anguish of civil war, the yoke of segregation and tyranny of Jim Crow, the death of four little girls in Birmingham, and the dream of a Baptist preacher, all that history met on this bridge.
Deep in my heart, I do believe.
This is what we call history. 50 years since Dr. King, you know, crossed this bridge, and Bloody Sunday and all that our people went through. As for me, I can't say I did. I was only like 1 year old then. But... But my grandparents, they did. This is all the part, and I'm walking in honor of them.
Deep in my heart, I do believe that he shall come someday.
This weekend, the city of Selma will remember the 50th anniversary of the event known as Bloody Sunday. State troopers attacked voting rights marchers with clubs and tear gas in 1965. The Edmund Pettus Bridge, where the bloodshed took place, has become a monument to the civil rights movement. For one couple in the city of Atlanta, the bridge is a symbol of something else, and that's raising a few eyebrows in Selma. Alabama Public Radio's Stan Ingold has more.
It would be detrimental to your safety to continue this march, and I'm saying that this is an unlawful assembly.
This is how the world remembers March 7th, 1965 in the town of Selma. Voting rights marchers on the Edmund Pettus Bridge met by state police troopers and a sheriff's posse armed with clubs and tear gas. News footage of the attack poured out of black and white television sets and into living rooms nationwide. The event became known as Bloody Sunday.
It may have, you know, started out as something so negative, but it depends on how you look at it.
I met Sonja Houston at the St. James Hotel right next to the Edmund Pettus Bridge in Selma.
Because the strength of the people made it more so a beautiful thing.
She grew up here and wants to associate some positive memories with the iconic bridge and its place in civil rights history.
A year and a half or 2 years ago, I thought it would be so beautiful if I can have my wedding ceremony someday. I wasn't engaged yet, but have my ceremony out here. It's just beautiful.
If Houston gets her way, her wedding photos will include the Edmund Pettus Bridge as the backdrop.
Because it has so much character, history. It's the main focal point of Selma when you think of Selma, or any outsiders think of Selma.
But I did hear on the radio that this amphitheater is supposed to be done in a couple of months.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know,
like any bride-to-be, Houston has enlisted help in getting everything organized for the big day.
When Sonja called me and said that she wanted to get married down there, I was so excited because we love a good challenge.
Rebecca Nichols is the couple's wedding planner. She and her husband help plan and organize weddings all over the state. But she says using the Edmund Pettus Bridge is a first.
And it's different, and nobody's ever done it before, so it's exciting. You know, it's exciting for Selma because if we can get some kind of policy in place for this, Selma could really become a destination wedding place.
Thank you for calling St. James Hotel. This is Jenny.
We make our way from the St. James Hotel around the block to the city walk where Houston hopes her wedding can be held.
But this is where she's talking about having the ceremony. So if you come, you know, about right here, I mean, you can see the bridge that way. So actually, they would be getting married here, so the congregation would be facing this way.
The city walk runs alongside the Alabama River and provides a clear view of the Edmund Pettus Bridge.
And see, up there is where I was saying that's the back of St. James Hotel. Okay. And so that's where I was saying when I first really got a really good view of the bridge, and I knew this is it.
Couples who get married in Selma typically flock to neighborhood parks or stately plantation homes for the big day. Nichols says Houston's goal of using the Edmund Pettus Bridge carries more complications than where to put the flowers in the band.
The city's concern is they have no way for us to actually reserve it because you can't block it off or keep people from coming down here. And I think their concern is because it is a public area and there's a walking trail right by the river that they'll be public, you know, coming in and out, which I don't think that we're that much opposed to it. They'd get to see a beautiful ceremony.
And Houston's big day isn't the only thing on the minds of city leaders in Selma. The town is going into high gear for this weekend's commemoration of the 50th anniversary of Bloody Sunday. This is where we find James Benderson. He's the director of city planning and development. His office also handles special events for the city. Benderson says the application process is actually pretty easy.
It's kind of simple. Just fill out the paperwork and we look at it and make sure that we can accommodate you and make sure that we want to know when, where, how many people, if you need police presence, if you needed chairs, tables, and those type things. And depending on the amount of staffing it takes, determining it what the fee and cost is.
He says he isn't shocked somebody wants to be married there. He says what does surprise him, though, is the lack of people asking.
Believe it or not, a lot of people who live here in Selma, a lot of times they don't even recognize the amenities that they have in their backyard. They don't even know that, oh, man, that's a beautiful place. I can have a wedding or a family reunion or something like that.
Houston says while the Edmund Pettus Bridge conjures images of brutality and struggle, it also represents the beginning of something good and what she believes ultimately is beautiful.
The people who made it such a beautiful thing are people that I'm related to. They're the people I come from, or they're the people that we have attachments to and bonds to, and why I was able to grow up in Selma and go to integrated schools and walk the whole city, it seems like, with no problem.
And Sonja hopes to add to this beauty by beginning her married life in the shadow of one of the most infamous sites of the civil rights movement. I'm Stan Ingold, APR News in Selma.
Alabama became the 37th state to legalize same-sex marriage today. Couples throughout Alabama have been applying for and receiving marriage licenses, but as APR's Alex Aubuchon reports, some judges aren't going along with that federal ruling.
Meredith Bagley and Alexandria Davenport, both faculty at the University of Alabama, were married in Vermont 5 years ago, but they wanted to get an Alabama marriage license now that same-sex marriage is legal. But when they went in to apply at the Tuscaloosa County Courthouse earlier today,
we had barely gotten a sentence in saying that we would like to request a marriage license, and we were told they would not be performing same-sex marriages today or issuing licenses today. So, and we're handed those letters.
Those letters were copies of Alabama Chief Justice Roy Moore's letter to all Alabama County probate judges. Moore sent the letter out late last night. It states that no probate judge in the state of Alabama may issue or recognize a marriage license inconsistent with Article 1, Section 3603 of the Alabama Constitution. That is, the same-sex marriage ban that was just declared federally unconstitutional. Richard Cohen is the president of the Southern Poverty Law Center. He says there's no legal validity to Moore's argument and that the letter only serves to increase confusion in the state.
Justice Moore is playing a very, very dangerous game. If he wants to preach, he ought to become a pastor. If he wants to be the Chief Justice of Alabama, he ought to follow the law and act prudently rather than issuing statements of defiance.
Cohen says that any probate judges that refuse to issue same-sex marriage licenses are putting themselves at risk of expensive lawsuits. The Southern Poverty Law Center has recently filed several ethics complaints against Chief Justice Moore and says the Judicial Inquiry Committee may levy sanctions against him. I'm Alex Aubuchon, APR News in Tuscaloosa.
Tuscaloosa County issued its first marriage license to a same-sex couple this morning. The historic moment was the result of a federal court order in Mobile County. Alabama has been in a legal whirlwind all week over when the state's chief justice refused to enforce an earlier federal ruling that same-sex marriages in the state are legal. Today's legal change of heart in Tuscaloosa means joy for one couple and confusion for another. APR's Pat Duggins reports.
I was at work and I had heard the news about the Mobile case.
We met Meredith Bagley earlier this week.
But I was frantically sort of posting and checking and seeing what does it mean for up here. And honestly, I got a text from someone I met here at the courthouse on Monday that he had changed his mind. And we started sort of hearing that multiple sources were confirming that, and it was awful exciting.
Her excitement was in contrast to Monday when Bagley and her spouse, Alexandria Davenport, were turned away from the Tuscaloosa County Courthouse. Probate Judge Hardy McCollum sided with Alabama Chief Justice Roy Moore and refused to issue marriage licenses to same-sex couples. Last night, everything seemed to change.
Social work, political science, guru, labor policy, etc. Brielle's a...
Friends and supporters met Bagley and Davenport in the hallway in front of the office that issues marriage licenses. Making a quieter entrance was Angela Chanel and Dawn Hicks. Chanel says they're here to get a license after 30 years together and raising three kids.
They're 31, 29, and 28, and they love their mamas. So they want that opportunity to celebrate with us, to share our joy, and to have a great big party.
Tuscaloosa County wouldn't issue Chanel and Hicks a marriage license on Monday either. Hicks says they could have gone to one of the minority of Alabama counties that were issuing licenses, but chose not to.
We did not want to go to another county. We wanted to be married in Tuscaloosa. This is where we've lived for 33 years. This is where we raised our kids. And I'm actually from Vermont. We could have married years ago, but we wanted to marry here in the state of Alabama. So this means everything in the world to us.
Good morning.
Yes, ma'am. Well, we'd like to apply for a marriage license.
Chanel and Hicks were at the head of the line when they were turned away on Monday, so Bagley and Davenport let them go first.
Obviously. We're going to get married 30 days somewhere in the state.
We are.
Not everything went perfectly. Hicks and Chanel had to enter information into a personal computer on the counter as part of the process. The online form listed both parties as the groom. In the end, they received their license and were headed out the door. Bagley and Davenport were next.
Good morning. I feel like we got to observe the practice run.
All right, we got both socials.
Yes, ma'am.
Both travel licenses.
That's when things didn't go as expected. Bagley and Davenport had been previously married in Vermont. The clerks told them they couldn't get a new marriage license if they were already married, The couple then asked if they could get their Vermont license recognized in Alabama. Bagley says the clerk said no.
So I said, just to kind of clarify, the couple in front of us, they currently hold more rights in the state of Alabama than we do as a couple who was married elsewhere because it's not recognized.
But that's with the state. That's not with us.
But the ruling that was handed down should have resolved that.
The discussion poured out into the hallway with Bagley and Davenport on one side and court clerk Myra Alexander on the other. Bagley says she doesn't want to vilify the courthouse staff who were just doing their jobs, but their concern was what appeared to be a bigger issue.
Many, many same-sex couples in Alabama went and got married out of state to get that federal protection. So now you're going to have a huge chunk of people of our community who are going to be stuck in this way. So some solution needs to be figured out by somebody much smarter than me about the law.
As heartrending as today's situation appeared to be, the American Civil Liberties Union is offering a glimmer of hope.
Rejecting the application because they're already married is, in fact, recognition of their marriage.
That's Randall Marshall, the ACLU of Alabama's legal director.
If you're lawfully married anywhere, then your marriage is valid here in Alabama. And that certainly is one of the prongs of the order that Judge Grenade issued in Mobile, is that.
That would seem to solve Bagley and Davenport's problem, sort of. They wanted to renew their vows tomorrow on St. Valentine's Day with an Alabama marriage license in hand. They say they may venture to another county to get one. Pat Duggins, APR News, in Tuscaloosa.
Today is Mardi Gras. The festival along the Gulf Coast is a time for parades and costumes and partygoers catching plastic beads and doubloons. This year's celebration in Alabama follows a Valentine's Day like no other. Same-sex couples got married, and that includes two in Tuscaloosa. This follows a federal court hearing in Mobile that resulted in an order that prompted county probate judges to start issuing marriage licenses. This change, combined with Mardi Gras, is giving Tuscaloosa's gay community a unique chance to interact with their neighbors in conservative Christian Alabama. APR's Pat Duggins explains.
It was a great moment when we heard that Tuscaloosa had now agreed to start doing marriage licenses.
Dawn Hicks received Tuscaloosa County's first ever same-sex marriage license. She and her longtime partner, Angela Chanel, were married Saturday for Valentine's Day.
It's a huge deal for our community.
Brian Taylor teaches fashion and design at the University of Alabama. But as happy as he is with the news, Taylor doesn't have a lot of time to talk about it. He and a group of friends are hard at work at the Bama Theater in downtown Tuscaloosa, one block from the county courthouse where Hicks and Chanel picked up their marriage license. It's Mardi Gras season, and that means it's time for Tuscaloosa's annual masked ball known as the Ball Mask. Taylor says the performers will do more than just throw plastic beads into the crowd.
This year we have seven performing in the tableau. Our lieutenants, we have four, so they'll each be performing a number. We have special entertainment, three drag queens performing for us, and then the captain's two numbers.
Let's put the drag queen part aside for a moment. Taylor explains this year's theme is the seven seas.
So we'll have like the Indian Ocean, the Mediterranean Ocean, Ursula, the Little Mermaid, the Arctic Ocean, Captain Hook, and Jaws.
The tableau includes performers wearing ornate headdresses, which are like wearable set pieces perched on their shoulders. They can range up to 15 feet high and 20 feet across as the actors walk up and down a runway, stretching out into the audience. Words like flamboyant just don't seem to be enough. We have pictures at APR.org.
Rainwater, get on headset.
Stage manager Alicia Lay barks out orders as the Little Mermaid number goes into its final rehearsal. The performer is on wires, so he floats off the stage.
The idea is it was based around a mermaid costume. So we started with a ray skin as a cover. That'll pop off into a nice long 10-foot mermaid tail, and then that layers down into a gown and then a little swimsuit cover up underneath.
The artist is from Birmingham. He goes by the stage name Ginger Snap.
The biggest issue so far today has been how we're going to get on and off of the wires, but every drag queen wants to fly, so my dreams are coming true.
Well, it's definitely a different weekend for Tuscaloosa.
We met Brian Taylor earlier. Along with building the sets, he's also co-captain of this year's Ball Mask. The event is a fundraiser for West Alabama AIDS Outreach, also known as WAO. It's put on by Taylor's Mardi Gras group called the Mystic Crew of Druids. He says ticket sales are up and corporate sponsorship is growing. But does that necessarily mean acceptance of the gay community?
I'm not sure. I know with the university here, it's a little bit probably a little bit easier to do this in Tuscaloosa.
I like to think that we're a little more open to
to this kind of diversity.
That's Elizabeth Aversa. The retired University of Alabama professor is part of Taylor's target audience. She's not in the crew, but she learned about West Alabama AIDS outreach through friends.
We think this is about neighbors caring about neighbors. And if this evening raises enough money to help the people in aid with AIDS who have it for a variety of reasons here in West Alabama, then as far as I'm concerned, it's worth it, and I support it.
Backstage at the Bama, David Ford is at work. Remember, this is a Mardi Gras event, and Ford may be the most popular man at the Ball Mask.
My job is to prep the beads for the different officers, and everybody has their own beads that they throw to the crowd.
And there's a science to being a Mardi Gras bead wrangler. Ford takes strings of beads by the handful and hangs them on a row of coat hooks next to the stage.
Yes. Are you wearing your crown out there?
Yes.
Okay.
While David Ford organizes the beads, the performers are getting into makeup and costume before the show. Some are in drag, but Terry Hampton isn't. He's the new king of the Mystic Crew of Druids, and his costume reflects it.
Because our theme is the Seven Seas, a nautical theme, it was designed after Lord Horatio Nelson. So he was a naval admiral, and this design was based on what he would wear.
In other words, it's easy to feel underdressed. In the lobby of the Bama, the crowd is growing, and soon it's showtime. Larry Contry is the master of ceremonies.
Everybody still having a good time?
One by one, the tableau performers parade up and down the runway. Each is accompanied by handlers in costume, throwing beads into the crowd.
I've gotten beyond wanting to be hit in the head with 5 pounds of Mardi Gras beads.
Elizabeth Aversa watched the show from her seat and left the bead chasing to others.
Kind of racy. Certainly the costumes were crazy.
But as for acceptance of the gay community, that may take time. Two conservative groups have convinced the Alabama Supreme Court to consider hearing a petition to stop same-sex marriages in the state. The U.S. Supreme Court in Washington has yet to rule on the issue. Pat Duggins, APR News, in Tuscaloosa.
There's been a new twist in Alabama's same-sex marriage controversy. APR's Pat Duggins reports no new marriage licenses for gay couples will be issued.
All but one of the members of the Alabama Supreme Court sided with Chief Justice Roy Moore's order to all of the state's probate judges. Moore says all of these county judges will stop issuing same-sex marriage licenses for 5 days. At the end of that time, the probate judges have to say why they should be allowed to continue granting licenses to gay couples. Angela Chanel and Dawn Hicks received Tuscaloosa's first same-sex license last month. Chanel says it's important to have their union recognized.
We're committed forever, and it's nice to have a piece of paper that recognizes that this is forever.
The issue may not be permanently settled until the U.S. Supreme Court takes up the matter. That's expected in June. Pat Duggins, APR News, in Tuscaloosa.
Today's Supreme Court ruling on same-sex marriage is being both welcomed and criticized in Alabama. The nation's highest court declared that state bans on gay marriage are unconstitutional and that existing marriages have to be recognized nationwide. Many officials, including Tuscaloosa County Probate Judge Hardy McCollum, say they oppose same-sex marriage and are resisting the implementation. APR's Alex Abishon reports the ruling is being celebrated by couples APR News has been following for months.
Just got a text from my sister that the Supreme Court rules that all states are to allow same-sex couples to marry. Just wanted to let you know in case you haven't heard yet. I love you.
That was a text that Angela Chanel of Tuscaloosa thought she'd never get. The next step was to break the news to Dawn Hicks, her wife and partner of nearly 20 years.
So it looks like we're staying married.
Wow.
Yeah, congratulations.
I was watching the clock to get closer to 9 a.m. Central, but then I was also keeping myself busy because I was just nervous.
We met Meredith Bagley 4 months ago. She got to break the news to her partner as well.
I was in a meeting, but I felt my phone going off. And so I just took a quick peek at it, and the first text was from my dad, and it just said, congratulations. And I knew it had to have been the full win.
Bagley and her partner, Alexandria Davenport, joined dozens of supporters outside the county courthouse with flags and signs to celebrate the Supreme Court's decision.
Hi.
How are you?
Good.
How are you?
good.
Can I help you with it?
We'd like a marriage license.
Okay.
Inside the courthouse, however, it was a different scene.
Well, at this time, we're not issuing the same-sex license at this time.
Chief Clerk Lisa Whitehead turned down Tuscaloosa couple Jennifer Kinney and Haley Felt's request for a marriage license. Probate Judge Hardy McCollum explained why.
Once there's a ruling, it's not final. There is an appeal process for those that make, and until it becomes final, once that's done, we will comply with federal U.S. Supreme Court's ruling.
The appeal McCollum is referring to allows the losing side in a Supreme Court case to ask for a review. Even after Tuscaloosa County starts issuing licenses, don't expect to see any same-sex couples saying, I do, with McCollum officiating.
My thoughts are that I'm opposed to same-sex marriages personally, and I will not be performing any.
And McCollum is not the only one opposing same-sex marriage.
It's a violation of separation of powers between the legislature and the Supreme Court. It's a violation of federalism between the states and the federal government.
That's Jason Kidd, the executive director of the Montgomery-based Foundation for Moral Law.
It's a violation of legislative action when you have 81% of the population voting, you know, against something, and then it's thrust upon them, by one decision from a court that, you know, they didn't have a voice in.
And Kidd's not alone.
If there is going to be a change on something like this, it should be from the people up, not from the court down.
That's John Eidsmo. He's senior counsel at the foundation. Eidsmo is referring to an idea that a popular vote on same-sex marriage be held instead of leaving it up to the courts. Randall Marshall disagrees. He's legal director at the ACLU of Alabama.
If 81% of Alabama's electorate voted to prohibit same-sex marriage, that still doesn't make it any more right than if today 60% of the voters support same-sex marriage. People's constitutional rights aren't subject to vote.
Alabama's same-sex marriage controversy dates back to late January. That's when federal lawsuits on adoption rights and medical power of attorney for gay couples were being heard. The ACLU's Randall Marshall says that's when U.S. District Judge Callie Grenade declared Alabama's ban on same-sex marriage federally unconstitutional.
Following that, the Alabama Supreme Court, in a very unprecedented move, issued an order to the probate court judges to continue to enforce Alabama law.
Meaning no same-sex marriage licenses. That push was spearheaded by Alabama Chief Justice Roy Moore. His defiant stance against the federal courts and same-sex marriage made him something of a rock star among conservatives.
Are we willing to say that a federal court will decide what our faith looks like, what our families look like, what marriage looks like?
Reverend Pat Mahoney heads the Christian Defense Coalition. He led a rally in Montgomery in support of Chief Justice Moore back in February. Ironically, Mahoney puts Moore in the same league as civil rights leaders of the 1960s.
People who took stands like Chief Justice Roy Moore.
Mm-hmm.
People who took stands like Dr. King, Dr. Abernathy, Rosa Parks, right here in this city. We are saying that is the kind of commitment and movement that we are embracing.
Opponents of gay marriage weren't the only ones on pins and needles waiting for the high court's decision. Gay rights activists held a rally on the campus of the University of Alabama in Tuscaloosa to bolster support during the Supreme Court's deliberations.
And I think it's time that those justices realize that we are everywhere.
Dr. Adam Sharples was among those who spoke.
And everyone knows somebody who identifies this way, and we're part of that fabric. And I'm tired of being ripped out, and I want to be netted in.
Even after today's decision, the process of legalizing same-sex marriage in Alabama could take up to 5 years. That's according to Susan Watson, executive director of Alabama's ACLU. And it's not just issues with marriage laws.
LGBTQ people are not a protected class. So what that means is somebody could get married on Saturday and get fired from their job on Monday.
And Watson says that's not all.
Gay people often have problems getting housing. They have problems at work. They shouldn't be fired because of who they love. They have problems being served in restaurants. I mean, and even being affectionate in public. So it's we've got a long way to go.
Supporters of today's high court decision plan a celebration this evening at Tuscaloosa's Mellow Mushroom. They want to savor the victory today before they face whatever new legal wrinkles come up tomorrow. I'm Alex Aubuchon, Alabama Public Radio News.